Okay. No, more come. Okay, we're on page... page 8. Okay, we're going to start Pasuk Chav Zayin. Okay? Pasuk 27, page 8. Okay, after Hashem said, let us make man, like he said, let us make man, we went into that whole discussion. Then it says, we're going to make him in our image and our form, and we discuss what that means, that people are different than animals, that they walk upright, like the intellect is higher than the emotional levels.
That's not true, I thought about
it. Okay.
Kangaroos walk upright as well, no?
Yeah, but they have a pouch. Vayivrel kim es ha'adam b'tzalmei, and God created man in his image. B'tzalem elokim bara oisei, in the image of God he created him, and listen to this, he created him, and then says, zocha unikeva bara oisam. He created them. So it starts off by saying singular, that Hashem created Bara B'Tzalem Elokim Bara Oisai, and then it says Zachu Nekeva Bara Oisam. So first of all, Rashi asks the question. It seems to be a contradiction, because later on, in a little while, the Torah is going to say that first he created Adam, and then he created Chava. And here the Pasuk is saying, Zachar Unikeva Bara Isam, he created them both together, when he didn't create them both together, he created Adam and then Chava. And also, what does it mean when it says, he created singular, and then the, okay. So he says like this. From one side, Bara Isai means Hashem created in the image of God that was unique, singular. Mankind is in the image of God, that's the singular. But then when he creates, when he speaks about the male and female, then he goes to the plural terminology, because now he's talking about the details of Adam and Chava. When he created them in the image of God, male and female are both created in the image of God. So therefore the Torah says singular to teach us that both are created in the image of God.
Hashem has no...
But we explained, but you weren't here last time, so it's okay. No, you weren't. Okay, then it says like this. Vayivarach Eisam Elokim. Okay, this is where we're up to. Vayivarach Eisam Elokim, God... I've got to say what Rashi says. It's a different answer is over here. Rashi says that here the Torah is talking the generalization. He created mankind, male and female. Okay? Later on, the Torah goes into the details. That first was man, then woman. But here the Torah is saying he created, because everything else in the world, and this is unique, everything else in the world, all the animals, God created male and female simultaneously. The only one he didn't create simultaneously, male and female, according to this opinion, was mankind, man and woman. Now, the Medrash answers a different answer. The Medrash answers that Adam and Chava were created Siamese twins. They're attached together. And that's the way, therefore it says, he created him, singular. It was one entity. But male and female, he created them Siamese twins. The first Siamese twins, by the way. And then, later on, in Chumash, then God separated them. Huh? Initially, before the sin, the body of Adam and Chava, it says in Kabbalah, were covered, Medrash also, that they were covered with nails, like we have fingernails. That was, actually, the entire body was coated with nails as a protection. Then when they sinned, so all the nail of the body fell off except in the fingernails. That's why fingernails represent impurity. When you wake up in the morning, you have to wash what's called negel vasser. Negel actually is a Yiddish word for nails. You have to wash more than the nails, but I'm saying negel vasser means the nail water for the nails. And then when you cut your nails, it's also a sign of impurity. Okay, it's not for now, but there's, generally speaking, and Chassidus says, the Kabbalah and Chassidus has a lot of discussion about this. God didn't create that our fingers keep growing and every so often we chop them off. Or our stomachs keep growing and then you chop them off. That God, I wish you, everybody wishes. A lot of people would have to be up out of a job. But anyway, but there's two things that God created that grow and you have to cut it. And if you don't cut it, it's like disgusting. Hair and nails. Correct?
Except for Nazarite.
Okay, we're talking about normal people now. So God says nails and hair are the only two things of a person's body that grow and cut them off. So the question is, God could have made, just like the fingers, don't keep growing and you cut them. God could have made the nails, should be perfect. Again, manicures would be out of a job, pedicures, they'll be out of a job. The world would be a much better place. God could have made the nails, okay, you want to make nails, make them a certain length and keep them there. Make the hair a certain length and keep it there until you go bald. Why? But Hashem didn't do that. Because these two things of nail and hair represent evil. And therefore they have to be removed from the person, which is actually the avodah of the person. Part of the mission of a person is to get rid of this evil that grows. Okay, but when we get further on, we'll talk about that much more. Okay, so therefore he says like this, Bara Isai, God created them first singular, because male, man and woman were put together. Siamese twins, and then Zachar and the cave of Bara Isai, and then eventually, God separated them, then they became separated, male and female.
Were they looking at each other, or were they looking up, away from each other?
They're probably looking, I don't know, it doesn't say. Depends, if they had a good marriage, they were facing each other. They didn't.
No, really. They're attached to each other. Were they facing each other, or were they facing?
You know, in the Holy of Holies, there was the Orin, the Ark, with the Kerubim.
The Cherubim.
Yeah, the Cherubim. Okay, so it says in the Medrash, when the Jews behaved, they're facing each other. When the Jews didn't behave, they were facing the opposite way. It was a miracle about the Jews' behavior. Okay. So it says like this, V'yivarach Eisem Elokim, Hashem blessed them. Hashem blessed Adam and Chava, okay, more than all the other creations of the world, okay? And he said like this, Pruvu, be fruitful and multiply. And this is, by the way, not a commandment. The Mepharshim say here, it just says, V'yivarach Eisem, God blessed them. Later on, after the flood, then Hashem said to Noach, you have a mitzvah to be fruitful, multiply. But what the double expression is, what does it mean, pru or vu? What's the double expression? If the Torah would only say pru, I would think it means one child. So the Torah says pru or vu, be fruitful and multiply, which means two children. Okay, so therefore the minimal responsibility of the mitzvah of pru urvu is boy and a girl. And halacha says, really, when they have kids, is when there's a boy and a girl from the two kids, a boy from one of them and a girl from one of them, that's when you really get the mitzvah pru urvu. Now, just, that's done in passing. Halachically, if you have a boy and a girl, you didn't get the mitzvah pru urvu until they get married, and they have a boy and a girl. Now the boy can have a girl and the girl can have a boy, but as long as the kids have kids, that's when you fulfill the mitzvah of pruvu in its entirety.
So is this pruvu, since you said, you mentioned later on in Parshat Noach, is that right, where the Noachai laws?
No, it's not. Well, it's a question in Halacha, it's an argument in the Rishonim, if a non-Jew is also obligated in pruvu.
Excuse me, if you don't fulfill that obligation, is that punishable by death, or is that by just getting
kind of
cleansing?
Really. Last time I asked God the question, he didn't answer me. No.
Somebody has kids and then their kids don't have kids, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and if somebody doesn't have children because God didn't give him children, that's so we'll say there's another concept of pruvu. It says in Halacha, if somebody for whatever reason is can't have kids, this is what it says in Halacha, but in Shchnorch it says you should adopt orphans, like they used to in the olden times, they used to adopt orphans and raise orphans as kids, or support institutions of children. I mean, there's a lot of things in Halacha that Halacha says could be done. But pruvu, according to the another pasuk says that God did not create lo latel berah ela lo shavis yitzara. God did not create the world that it should be empty. God created the world that it should become civilized and filled, and therefore a person has this mitzvah. Okay, now this is not, by the way, one of the 10 utterances. This is Hashem told, he gave a bracha to Adam and Chava that they could and they should, by the way, pruvu umilo sa'aretz, and fill the earth, v'chefshu, and conquer the earth. Which is very interesting. This is the source, by the way, that the mitzvah of pruvu is only on the men, not on the women. In other words, men have a mitzvah of pruvu, of being fruitful and multiply. Women, per se, don't have the mitzvah of pruvu. And we'll see why with this pasuk says clearly the reason for that. Nevertheless, it says in Halacha like this, that women, because realistically speaking, you can't have kids without a woman, so even though she's not obligated in the mitzvah, but she gets an equal share in the mitzvah because it can't be done without her, number one. So therefore, women also get the mitzvah. Secondly, the Poskim write that even though a woman might not necessarily be obligated in the mitzvah pru or vul, but she's obligated in the another pasuk that we just quoted, lo latel bara ela lo shavis yitzara. God did not create the world to be tohu, empty. He created it to be inhabited, which therefore it implies, according to those codifiers, that it applies also to a non-Jew, even though it's not one of the 7 Noahic laws, but it's still a mitzvah for a non-Jew to be pruvu. And then, by the way, angels were not given this mitzvah. Okay? But the pasuk says, if you look in the pasuk, it says, "Pruvim v'chivshua," and conquer it. And this is the source that the Gemara says, forget about today in the world and the armies, but the Gemara says, "Ish darke lichpesh, ve'eino ish darke lichpesh." Men conquer, men go back to battle, women don't go to battle. Let's leave out the Israeli story. Men go to battle, women don't go to battle. And therefore, the fact that the Torah connects the mitzvah of pru or vu to the mitzvah of chivshua and conquer it, so the Torah basically is clear, saying that the mitzvah of pru or vu means to conquer the earth, and men have this mitzvah, so to speak, and the fact that they conquer, and therefore the mitzvah is only on men, not on women. But there's a deeper significance, by the way, the mitzvah of pru or vu. There's a physical mitzvah of pru or vu, physically having children, but there's spiritual children. We say in Shema, Vishinantum Levanecha. What does it mean, Vishinantum Levanecha? Rashi says in the Gemara, Elo Talmidim. It doesn't only refer to physical children, it refers to your students. Your students are also your children, not physical children, they're your spiritual children. So what's the mitzvah that the Rebbe used to emphasize many times? Pruvu means actually get another Jew involved in Judaism. Teach them. That's the way you also spiritually fulfill the mitzvah, pru or vu,
by
you like it, huh? Not good. By spiritually getting another Jew involved in Yiddishkeit and all the other things. Uradu, and then he says like this. Then you should, uradu, you should rule over the gasayam, the bird, the fish of the sea, eifa shemayim, and the birds of the heaven, v'chol chayor emesas alor, it's in every creature that creeps on the earth. Okay, so here the Torah says first fish, which are the hardest to conquer because you're not in the ocean with them. Then you have eifa shemayim, and then you have chayor emesas alor. So these are the three things the Torah wants, that mankind should be in control of all the creatures of the world. Okay, so actually Hashem blessed Adam Rishon and Chava, Adam and Chava, that they should dominate the world. Mankind is the king of creation. So therefore they have the ability to dominate the world rather than allowing the world to dominate them, which is not very good. And he says that Hashem blessing, the Barbanel writes that Hashem blessing Adam and Chava and mankind over here, he created you that you should not be engrossed only in the physical, you should also be engrossed in the spiritual. Not only should you only be engrossed in the spiritual, you should be engrossed in the physical. So it had to be both things. Hashem wants people to physically and spiritually in both ways. Okay, it's also according to many, okay, we said Rashi says it's only a bracha, not a commandment. Okay, Mula Sa'aretz, another interesting thing. Hashem wants, what do you mean Mula Sa'aretz? What do you mean fill the earth? God doesn't want all mankind in one place. God wants mankind spread out around the world. In fact, the commentaries explain, you know the Dor HaFloga that made the Babylonian, the tower to go up to God, okay? And God spread him out all over the world. They did something against Hashem. It says in the Medrashim, one of the sins of the Dor HaFloga, in addition to the fact they thought they're going to go fight God or whatever it is, another one is they centralized themselves in one area. And then Hashem punished them that they were spread out all over the world. In Hasidus we learned many times, why does God want the whole world to be filled? And that's a very interesting thing. The Gemara tells a story. One rabbi was accompanying another rabbi home. Okay? And he said, say a Dvar Torah, that used to talk in Torah. So he said, there's a pasuk that says about a land, Asher lo yashav adam sham, that no man lived there. Like the jungles, it's a... So he said, I heard something beautiful on this, the Torah Meroyim were talking. He said, I heard that a land that Adam Rishon decreed should be inhabited became inhabited. The land that Adam Rishon gozar, shelo yashavu ba, that should not be inhabited, ended up not being inhabited. In other words, the pasuk Hashem Yoshav Adam Sham, he interpreted to mean that if Adam decreed that people should live there, people live there, and if they agree they shouldn't live there, then nobody lived there. And therefore you have parts of the world that are basically not inhabited, the jungles and those places where you don't have that many people living. Huh? North Pole, South Pole, yeah, I mean, where people are not inhabiting that land. And the reason for that is because Hashem wants people all over the world except in those places.
Right, why does it say
Adam? One second. What does that mean? When God created the world, He created the world because He wanted, like we learned, a dwelling place down here. So, There's a very interesting the Gemara. There's a pasuk that says, Sitkas, it's in one of the terrorists we say, Sitkas perzeinei bi Yisro. The makira pasuk has it. Sitkas perzeinei bi Yisro. So the Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbeishia. What do you mean, Sitkas perzeinei bi Yisro? Amar Rabbeishia. Rabbeishia said like this, Tzedaka asa kodesh baruch li Yisro, shepizron bein ha'umas. God did a favor to the Jews. Tzedakah, Asa Kodesh Baruch. God did a tzedakah, a kindness to the Jews, by spreading them out all over the world. The simple meaning of the Gemara is, if all the Jews would be concentrated in Germany during the war, God forbid, more Jews would have been killed. If more Jews would have been centralized in Spain, or whatever it is, and during the years of the pogroms, God forbid, more Jews would have been killed. By spreading Jews out all over the world, so when the Jews were driven out of Spain, they're able to go to their brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. So this is the simple meaning that the Gemara says that Hashem did a kindness to the Jewish people by spreading them out, that the Jews always have the place to run to. to be safe. Okay? But in the previous Rebbe Maimer, he explains in a much deeper sense. What was the kindness that God did to the Jews by spreading them out all over the world? It's similar to another Gemara. The Gemara says that the reason why we have Golos is to add more converts. That's what the Gemara says. So the question, we're not out to convert people. They convert, of course. But that's not what we're all about. So Chassidus explained, it doesn't mean gaydim, people gaydim. It means sparks of Kedusha that are all around the world. Right? You have, if all the Jews would be in Europe, let's say, and no Jews in America, who would be doing Torah mitzvahs in America to elevate the air and the land of America? If no Jews would be in South America, how would that land be elevated? And the fact is, people are living there, which means other Mishnah decreed people should live there. So therefore, we do need to live there. And if we need to live there, this is the kindness that Hashem does. Now, we can elevate all over the world, in those places that God said we should be inhabiting, one second, and civilizing. So then we elevate that, those countries. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to elevate. So what does it mean? Hashem said, I want you to be all over the place. Why? Because when you do Torah mitzvahs, you make brachas, you keep Shabbos, you daven, you elevate the earth, the air, the atmosphere, everything becomes holy. What?
I had this question before the class started. Is there any mitzvah in traveling in general, as long as you're observant Jew?
Is there any mitzvah
to travel, like...
Well, I mean, is there a mitzvah to travel or a mitzvah not to travel? What are you asking?
Travel.
And you mean, are you allowed to travel? Sure, you're allowed to travel.
Like, on purpose, just to go around the world and, like, pray.
Yeah, why not?
I think he's asking, like, is it a mitzvah to go and try to, like, spread as many sparks as possible?
Is it a mitzvah to go? No. No. The mitzvah is where God puts us. One second. Let me answer it. David HaMelech says in Tillim like this. We learned this concept. It's a very major concept. David HaMelech says in Tillim, Me Hashem mitzad gever koinonu, which means, from God, the footsteps of man are planned. That means wherever a person is, that is God putting them there. Okay? Now, tzaddikim, this is what it says in Sfarim. Tzaddikim know where their place of mission is. Tzaddikim go there straight away. Tzaddikim know where their mission is, they go there. Us commoners, we don't know where our mission is. Yeah? So God gets us there by hook or by crook. Meaning, people think, why do I live here? Because this is where my job is. Why do I live here? Because this is where my family is or isn't. Yeah, you know what I mean? People think, but wherever we live, you should know, and each one of us in this room live in a certain place. Right? Now, why do we live in this place and not in a different city? Because our mission in life is to elevate this city.
For the time.
Sometimes you finish your mission here, God will some reason make you lose your job here, let's say, God forbid, and then you'll have to go to a different city and get your job there, because then now your mission became there. So you thought I'm moving because of the job. It doesn't work like that. It's on the contrary. Why is your job got there? Why did God get you a job there? God runs the world. Yeah, believe it or not. Whether we like it or not either. God runs the world. So why is our job in the other city? Because now my mission is to go to that city. So if our mission is not to travel around the world. I mean, you could. Because obviously, if God made in destiny that you should travel. I'll give you another example. Okay, before Waze, you know Waze in the car, before MapQuest, before GPSs, yeah? Believe it or not, because the men didn't live to the wives in the car, they got lost. You know that. I mean, you know, they would follow the wives, they would never get lost. They only lost because their wife said turn right and they turn left. Yeah? You make a wrong turn. David HaMelech says, that wrong turn that you made the wrong way, yeah? That was destined from God. That means, if you really take it seriously, right now, my mission is to say words of Torah or Tehillim or whatever it is, because this place that I am now, God put me here to elevate. So obviously I can't daven there because I don't have my tefillin, and I davened already. But you could say Tehillim or do a mitzvah or think something good or, that's what, yeah. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, does that mitzvah apply today? This is a big argument on Loch, nothing to do with Zionism, not Zionism. Pre-Eretz Yisrael is a tremendously great argument in Halacha. If the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, which is one of the 613 mitzvahs, by the way, if it only applies when all Jews live there. In time to base the Mikdash. Many poskim, many authorities say it applies today also. Many authorities say it doesn't apply today. The mitzvah itself only applies in the time of the base of Mikdash. So it's an argument in Aloha. The fact though, that people do live here, we all live here, we don't live in Israel. Maybe if you live in Yeshiva in Israel, but meanwhile your home is here. So, then the point is, this is where our mission is. Mashiach will come, and he's going to take us all back to Eretz Yisrael, which is the ultimate goal.
So what about those people that say that, like, if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael?
You know what?
Like, the ones who say, you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a kasini, or it's a chote,
I know, not only that, the Gemara says in Ksubis, at the end of Ksubis, the Gemara says, whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't have a God. Kila enu alaka. Okay? Yeah. You know what? But again, that's in the time when the mitzvah applies. Do you know that the Me'iri was a Rishon in the time of Rashi, yeah? A little bit after Rashi. It was a great commentary on the Gemara. The Me'iri writes that in the time when the Gemara were in Bavel, when the, you know, Talmud Bavli, the Me'iri said all the Gemara is taught about Eretz is so about not going out and living there applies to Bavel too. That's what he writes. In Halach, I mean, he paskens like that. That the same thing would apply to Bavel also. Not everybody agreed with him, but I'm saying it goes like that. But the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is basically, according to all opinions, in the time of when all the Jews lived in Israel. In fact, when Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi in Israel, remember, before your times, Rabbi Shlomo Gorin was the chief rabbi of Israel, and he came to the Rebbe for Yechidus, and he asked the Rebbe, what is your opinion about Aliyah? And the Rebbe answered, I hold the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And he said, what's your opinion of Aliyah? And the Rebbe answered, I hold of the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And he asked a third time and a fourth time, and he saw he wasn't getting anywhere. So he basically, the Rebbe told him, stop asking the question.
What was the answer?
No, he said, do you hold of Aliyah? The Rebbe said, I hold of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's different. Just whatever. Not getting into that now, but it's different. But this is what he said. Hashem said to Adam Rishon on Chava, "Milu Arz Arz Rechiv Shua." I want you to fill the entire earth because that's the purpose why I created the earth. That now there's certain place. By the way, half the world is water. Yeah, we don't live in the water. So obviously, that's not the place Hashem wants us to live. You can't do mitzvahs on the ground. Right? Aretz also, that Hashem doesn't want us living in the moon either. It's a miluos ha'aretz. He didn't say miluos ha'levana. He said fill the earth. In fact, there's a very interesting discussion in contemporary halacha, which again, it's not for now, but there's a lot of articles in halacha written on this. Is there a concept of mitzvahs on the moon? In other words, if a Jew lands on the moon, does he have a mitzvah of putting on tefillin? Does he have a mitzvah of keeping Shabbos? Does he have a mitzvah, or mitzvahs were given only on earth?
What's the answer?
They're not there yet. But it's the same thing. If a person's on a plane, yeah? If a person's flying on a plane, they don't have to keep mitzvahs because they're not on earth. I mean, obviously they do. What?
Below the firmament and space shuttles beyond the firmament. So
Yeah, but the moon is not necessarily below the firmament.
Sorry?
The moon is not necessarily above the firmament.
No?
I don't know. It depends how high the firmament. The Gemara says it's a going, the Gemara in Chagiga says it's a going of 500 years. Now, does that mean walking, flying, driving, spaceship,
Huh?
It's hard to do the math if you don't know what you're mathing.
Well, 500 years, and then you
500 years, what? Driving, walking.
Well, you figure it out.
How can you figure it out?
I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Please, I would love to know, by the way. Okay, so he says like this. So Mullah Sarf Chipshua, okay, and you should control all the other creatures of the earth. Meaning, by the way, even though people are on dry land, Hashem gave him control over the ocean. I mean, even half the world they're not living in. Hashem gave him dubit gasayom, beifashamayim, and everything. Okay. Vayomer Elokim, this is another interesting pasuk. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Hinei nosati lachem es kol eser zerei zera. Behold, I'm giving you all vegetables, all grass that plants seeds on the earth, asher alpei chol ha'aretz, which is on the face of the earth, meaning all vegetation, v'eskola eitz asher bepri eitz zerei zara, and every tree that has seed-yielding fruit, meaning basically a tree, except later is going to say not the eitz adas, right, not the tree that other magician ate from, lachem yeh la'ochla. Okay, they are going to be able to eat it. That means Hashem said to him, and this is clear, which is another interesting thing. People at this time, until after the flood, were not allowed to eat meat. Meat was only allowed after the flood. Until the flood, people were only allowed to eat. Like Hashem says, what am I giving you to eat? I'm giving you to eat vegetables, seeds. I'm giving you fruit. And also, by the way, it's interesting. Okay, for all animals and beasts and birds, whatever crawls on the ground, it has a living soul. I'm giving them grass to eat. Okay? Now, the question is, seemingly here Hashem doesn't tell them about fruits. Hashem says about things growing directly from the ground. So some people say, so now the question is like this. We know animals eat other animals. The question was that in the diet, was that allowed in the diet until after the flood? And it's a big question in halacha. I mean, in the commentaries.
Kosher behema cannot eat other behema.
Well, they're not animals of prey. Domestic animals are not kosher animals, and usually not. And therefore, even though kosher is a chok, illogical this, but the logic, the Mefarshim explained, after we know it's illogical, then we try to understand reasoning for it. It says, because you are what you eat. When a person eats, they get the traits of what you eat. So if you eat animals of prey, so then you get this tendency of ripping other things apart, destroying other people. And God said, I don't want that. So the kosher animals, as a rule, are not the lions and the tigers and the ones that destroy and eat other animals. It's basically kosher animals. I mean, that are more...
They eat from the earth.
They eat from the earth. And now, by the way, this explains another interesting thing. You know the seven Noahic laws? They're called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Yeah? Why aren't they called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Adam?
Aren't Yisrael called Adam?
No. But they were given to Adam, no? In fact, we didn't get to the pasuk yet.
He wasn't
righteous. No, that's not... Adam was more righteous than Noach.
Number seven,
yeah? The reason is... Because later we learn out from a pasuk, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, the Gemara learns out, from that one pasuk, Adam Rishon, the Rambam says this clear, the Gemara says it also clear, the Sanhedrin. Adam Rishon was given 6 mitzvahs, not 7. Because the first of the 7 mitzvahs not to eat a live limb off an animal. They couldn't eat animals anyway. So the mitzvah of Eivim and Achai, not to eat a live limb off an animal, didn't apply to Adam because he wasn't allowed to eat animals. Period. When did that mitzvah come? So after the flood, and Hashem said to Noach, now I'm permitting you to eat meat. Then he said, you can't eat a live limb off an animal. Eivim and Achai. So therefore we called Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, because Noach got 7. Adam Rishon only got 6. We can't say Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Adam, because Adam Rishon only got 6. And not because there's more righteous, less righteous. Push it factually, the one that got the 7th and final mitzvah of the 7-night law, it was Noach. So therefore called Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Though the one Adam is only 6.
When was Adam not to kill?
The day he was created. All the 7 laws were created. In fact, it's not now, but it's after Vayechulu, after Shabbos and...
If they were Siamese twins, and then an Ashur that I heard, they said since Eve was made out of Adam's rib, a woman cannot break another woman because they're both made out of bone, yet a woman can break a man because man is made out of earth.
And break how?
That's what...
No, what does it mean? Define the words.
Like, I don't know. This is exactly what...
I don't know what it means. A woman cannot break a woman, and a man... A woman can break a man?
Yes.
If she uses an axe, she can break a man too. I mean...
Yeah, this is what...
She break a woman... What does it mean?
I don't understand.
So I'm not even responsible what I say. You expect me to be responsible for what somebody else says? What do you want from me? I don't know what it means. Okay, so it makes 2 of us. Great minds don't understand alike. What?
So the moon is 238,000 miles away. If I had 500 years, it would take me just under 40 miles a month to walk.
I'm sure.
I could walk 40 miles a month.
And therefore?
So 500 years, 40 miles a month would get me to the moon. So I could walk it in 500 years, 40 miles a month.
And if it's driving?
It'd be less.
Okay, I understand. So I don't understand. It's not clear. It doesn't say in Mefarshim what that means. The old question, what does it mean, is going of 500 years?
If you know the distance and the time, you know your...
You don't walk 40 miles a month.
You can.
Could walk much more than 40 miles a month.
Absolutely. Huh? 70 miles a day, according to Russia.
Not 70. No.
40 miles
3 parsa a day. 3 parsa is 12 mil. It's a mil is less than a mile, so it's about 10 miles a day. The Gemara says average walking 10 miles a day. That's
where?
Bechal, how much can a person walk? Average, a person can walk 3 parsa a day, which is 12 mil. Okay, whatever.
Go less than a mile and a half a day.
Okay. I told you, I don't know what it means. Anyway, so it says... people were not allowed to eat meat. Okay? So he says, even the animals, Hashem restricted the diet. Okay? Now, according to certain opinions, the question of what does it mean, the animals, did the animals and the people have the same diet? Okay? So people were not allowed to kill animals to eat now. Whether animals obviously were also not create, were not allowed, at this point, they were not allowed to eat other animals too. Not that they're few, but they were, what?
Doesn't Abel sacrifice animals to Hashem?
Yeah, but not to eat. Wasn't eat, it was a sacrifice, yeah. The Rambam says an interesting thing, the question what the source of the Rambam is. But the Rambam writes in the laws of Beis HaMikdash that Adam Rishon, the day he was created, brought a sacrifice to God. The day he was created brought a sacrifice to God. But they didn't eat it. It was just brought as a sacrifice, and it was like a carbon oil, a burnt offering.
Was he asked to do so, or he did it out of his own?
He did it his own free will.
How did he know how to do that? Why would he do that?
Huh?
Why would he do this? All of a sudden say, oh, I'm going to sacrifice something.
Yeah, he said, I got to thank God.
And then I'm going to sacrifice an animal to thank God?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he give him a bunch of flowers?
God was male. He didn't like flowers.
No, really, seriously.
I'm answering you seriously. I mean, if God would have been a female, maybe he could have brought flowers.
God is not male. God has no gender, obviously.
By the way, that's another interesting halacha question he brings down over here, which is another interesting point. Adam and Ishu was not allowed to kill animals for food.
But
not to eat. The question is, was he allowed to eat an animal that died on its own? So that they bring down at the bottom, interesting thing, is uncertain. There's a psukazutra, mashak. There's a bunch of different opinions. If Adam and Ishim was not allowed to kill animals to eat, or what happens if there was like a dead cow, whatever, died from old age, you know, whatever, was he allowed to eat it or not? Because they didn't have kosher then in those days. Now, another interesting thing, what did God give the rule and dominion over the animals? Meaning that a person was given permission by God, by the way, contrary to public belief today, a person can use animals for their benefit. You can put a plow, a yoke on a cow or whatever, an ox, and use it for your human purposes. Right? So, and this goes into the whole thing. I'm going to touch upon it just to make everybody nervous. This is the question about experimenting on animals for human benefit. Right? Many people today in the world are against it. Why are you experimenting cruelty to animals and you have to do it? But the Torah clearly says over here that Adam and Chava, mankind, was given the permission or to do bit gasa yom of Aifa Shemayim to have dominion and rulish leadership and rulership over all beasts to use them. Like he brings down from the commentaries, man was given dominion over God's creatures. They can harness them in the service, but he cannot slay them for eating. Okay? He was only able to eat vegetables and fruit from the tree. Now, you have to understand, this is clear. In halacha, you are not allowed to torture animals. It's forbidden, biblically. By the way, Tzar Bali Chaim, there's an argument in the Gemara if it's biblical or rabbinic. The halach in Shulchan Aruch is torturing animals is biblical. And by the way, and this applies to Goyim also, because the first of the seven Noahic laws, Eivim Menachai, doesn't only mean you can't eat a live limb of an animal, it includes general cruelty to animals is forbidden, is forbidden for a non-Jew. The seven Noahic laws, by the way, in halacha, are basically divided into over 30 laws that apply in the seven Noahide laws, includes really 30 halachas. Okay, between the seven, each one is a bunch. So according to halacha, it's forbidden bullfights, rodeos. It's biblically forbidden for Jew or non-Jew to do anything that's cruelty to animals.
Watch those things, or is it participate?
No, to be cruel to animals. So it's forbidden. Well, if by watching it you're causing them to do it because they have no watchers, they're not going to do it. Right. Like Lashon Hara, right?
Right.
No listener, no talker. People don't say Lashon Hara to themselves.
What if you're sitting in an
empty room and say, oh, you may still go to gossip. It's the most boring thing you could do.
Does this include current killing practices for the masses in terms of how they eat their meat?
No. That's for human consumption. You can't, even if a Jew, which halachically is a mitzvah to experiment on animals, because do you know how many cures we have because of experiments on animals? So most of the medicine today was through mice and rats and different animals that they experimented on, right? But halacha says you can't torture the animal for no reason.
So if it's tortured before it dies, it's okay?
No.
So I'm saying, so the current killing practices for non-kosher meat would not be okay.
You mean the way they torture the animals?
Yes.
By the way, even if it would be forbidden, it doesn't render the meat not edible.
Let
me tell you something. If, let's say, for shechita, right? Shechting an animal, yeah? If they torture the animal before the shechita, which they're not allowed to, okay? But let's say they do. And then the shechit comes and shechts the animal. Can you eat the animal? Yeah.
I don't want to eat it.
But I'm saying, halachically, are you allowed to eat it? Yeah. They tortured the animal. There's nothing to do with the kashrus of the animal. They were not allowed to torture it.
But if they tortured it and it died, would that be okay?
No, because then it's not shechted.
Okay, so these animals are tortured and that's how they die.
I understand. So okay? No, they don't. They shoot it. Which is not true, but they say that their method of killing animals is more humane than the shechita way, which is not true.
EKG machine of what's going on in the brain of the cow versus when it's shechted properly, it is cool.
Yeah, when you shecht the person, it's also that way.
Now, they're doing also animals for, like, women's products and so on and so forth.
But again, halachically, that's what the Torah says. For the usage of people, you're allowed to do it.
So, torture the animal?
One. Not torture. You get things from animals and not necessarily torturing an animal.
It's tortured to death. You can't eat it.
Killing an animal is not torturing the animal.
Okay, but if you torture it to kill it.
That's a separate issue. That's a sin to torture an animal. But when an animal is killed, you can use the stuff. Believe it or not, animals were created to serve humans. Humans were not created to serve animals. In case you didn't know.
Yeah, but an animal that's tortured to death is going to have a much different content of its chemistry than an animal that's not tortured to death. So when you consume an animal that's been tortured to death versus an animal that has not been tortured to death, you're consuming a completely different meat source.
You mean it's going to taste different?
I don't know, but the chemicals...
I don't know either.
The chemicals that you're consuming, because well, you're a tzaddik, you don't eat non-kosher meat. But if you were to eat non-kosher meat...
If that's what makes me a tzaddik, it's pretty sad.
But the chemicals that you're consuming from the non-kosher meat means that you're also consuming that torture that animal suffered before it died.
But again, there's nothing to do with the kashrus of the animal.
I understand, but that's how that animal dies.
Is that going to change? No.